Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday the 9th of August, recording at 9:19 p.m. and that's British Summer Time. Now first a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were firm generally, with the exception of Japan, which was down a little bit, less than 1%, but that's due to the strong yen against the US dollar headwind. Elsewhere, European stock markets closed with pretty solid gains, most of them in the order of 1.5%. And the US stock market had a quiet day, but closed not far off the highs for the day, up about 0.5% on the Dow and the S&P. Respectively, and the NASDAQ a little bit firmer than that. The US dollar, which has been pummeled recently, is a bit steadier in here today, particularly against the euro, but it's also up a little bit against commodity currencies such as the Australian dollar. But we're talking modest gains here. The precious metals weakened a bit today. Platinum down $24 to $1,546. Gold bullion had rallied up this morning nearly to $1,210, and fell back to $1,199, and is currently at $1,201.55. Long-dated government bond prices eased a little bit. In the soft commodities, wheat, which had a sharp downward move on Friday last week, after a spectacular advance, of course, wheat fell a little bit further in here today. Crude oil, steady. $81.51, and natural gas a little bit softer. Sugar, which having risen for a month and a half up until last week, and when it began to ease, fell a bit further here today. Industrial metals generally firm. I think only aluminium was down slightly. And copper is trading at 3.36 cents in after hours. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, there has been, as you will know, a plethora, of bearish sentiment, really in June and the very beginning of July. Record bearish sentiment nearly, or we're getting close to the extremes that we saw back in October 2008 and March 2009. But the monetary policy has remained accommodative, and so the short covering rally has attracted some value buying because valuations have been quite reasonable. And we've also been getting some momentum buying. That's particularly evident in some of the thinner Asian stock markets, the ASEAN markets. We've certainly seen some momentum buying there. But we've also had Wall Street and the European stock markets gradually pushing higher, I should say steadily pushing higher. If you look at the daily charts, technicians among you will see these step sequence uptrends with very small consolidations throughout most of the rise. The real challenge to the rise came early on in mid-July and was soon rebuffed. So again, monetary policy trumps most other factors most of the time, and it's not a bad environment at all. Now, could we still see some sort of a pullback during the remainder of this period of frequent underperformance, doesn't always underperform, for instance. But could we still see a bit further pullback and extension of the ranging activity that we have overall between now and, say, mid-October? The answer to that has to be yes, but I wouldn't count on it in the sense that I think many investors are beginning to realize that the gloom was way overdone. There's booming Asia leading the way. China has been a tailwind for the stock markets in the last month. The US has certainly no longer a headwind for global stock markets, as we've seen over the last month. It's become a tailwind once again. So, looking at the low interest rates, talk of more quantitative easing, that's not a bad background overall. Now, are there problems out there? You bet there are. But they're not unknown, those economic problems overall. But again, I think too much research has been too US-centric or too Western-centric. And even the Western-centric research has not given sufficient credence, in my opinion, to the potential for companies in the United States in particular, but also Europe, that are leveraged to the global economy. So anything that's benefiting from the strong growth, any company, Western company that's benefiting from the strong growth that we see in Asia, should really be doing very well in terms of its overall earnings. And the valuations are no longer that high. Now, I worried about those consolidated earnings when the dollar was on its highs not all that long ago. But now that the dollar has retraced a very significant proportion, most of those gains, this is good for those U.S. exporters. It's also good for Germany's exporters, and that's one reason why Germany hit a new high on Friday, and again in here today. It's very steady technical action overall. So there's a lot going on here, and it's mostly bullish. Where we see some technical deterioration recently, they are in minor markets such as Sri Lanka, but only after Sri Lanka had seen the most spectacular performance to the upside, moving steadily higher while the whole April into early July big correction was taking place in the West, and having accelerated so far up and away from its 200-day moving average mean, Sri Lanka now has buckled and is in what could well be a lengthy consolidation process. But I wouldn't assume necessarily that its bull trend is over. So, weigh it all up. And I like the valuations. I like the chart action that we have seen recently. A lot of what people were describing as top formations have been, well, they look more like they could be continuation patterns to the upside, which has been the fuller money view pretty much for the most part. So, yes, we may see a little ranging overall, but I think that more of these moves will be resolved to the upside. More of these big trading ranges, in other words, will be resolved to the upside. And I think it's not a bad idea to be fully invested. Now, what about gold and gold shares? Well, gold's been reasonably firm in here. It got a good bounce from support evident near that 1100, 1150 region. And I would point out, though, that gold has more competition now that stock markets have revived, and some of them never really faded that much, but I'm talking mainly about those Western stock markets. So the fear buying, the I'm only going to have one asset and it's going to be gold type of mentality, is fading, in here. And so I'm still a little bit cautious about gold in the short term, but I think it's probably seen most, if not all, of the reaction that it was likely to see. But again, as I say, I'm still a little cautious though in the short term, because gold is not yet back into a period of seasonal strength, but we're not that far off. That starts really in at some point in September. And we will see if that doesn't propel gold to new highs, and it might well do so given the soft dollar and the low interest rates, it could very easily do so. What I'll be interested to see, what I should mention first is that gold, I think, remains a solid hold for those who have the bullion and have it as a long-term hedge against other developments and their in the overall investment scene. So I wouldn't worry about those positions. But do I want to pile into gold here right now? Well, no. And having sold my gold shares, I'm deploying that that capital elsewhere. As you know, it's not that I'm bearish of gold shares. It's just that they did awfully well, and there's some other things that are maybe a little bit more attractive to me at any rate, and yield a little bit more. Now, these long-dated government bonds, I think, again, I've been surprised at how much the long-dated government bond yields have come down. Their prices, therefore, have gone up. We know why this is taking place. It's the quantitative easing. It's the recapitalization of commercial banks through the yield curve. Central banks are engineering that operation. They've created an environment which is exceptionally favorable for the banks in that process overall. But we've also had all of this deflation talk in the West, and the long-dated government bonds certainly are pricing in a deflationary future. Well, I don't think that's etched in granite. And one spanner in the works that I think is now evident is the specter of commodity price inflation. And we know about wheat, which has been in the headlines recently, as the price has had that huge surge to the upside. But that has also firmed the whole grain and bean complex. Owen and I have been talking about the strength of industrial metals on a daily basis. Crude oil back above the $80 level. Even previously dormant metals, this is an energy metal, such as uranium, have risen in the last 2 weeks. So there's the possibility of commodity price inflation. Now, why would that be? Well, there are two very clear reasons. I think perhaps half of it is coming from the weaker US dollar, because these commodities are priced in dollars. And the rest of it, though, is coming from a combination of consumer demand and also speculative demand. And if we get a major speculative play in these markets, that would quite quickly translate into stagflation. Now, Owen and I have been mentioning stagflation recently. I do think that it is a real risk, and I don't think any of the economists, or at least not the ones that I've been reading, have taken on board how quickly commodity prices have rallied recently. So they're not factoring that into their deflationary, no inflation scenario. As a matter of fact, you read most economic reports or you hear them commenting on the television channels, and the economists, so many of them, almost to a man and woman, they're all saying there's absolutely no inflation. The problem is deflation. Have a look at those commodity charts. We do certainly see more than a whiff of commodity price inflation, and I think that that will continue. Now, certainly, there's nothing deflationary about the copper price back up at $3.36 as I speak. Okay, anything else to mention in here? The US dollar. US dollar has come down very, very fast recently. I think, well, there's no doubt it's a bit oversold in the short term. So it may steady up. I don't think we'll get a big run to the upside because I don't think we'll get that type of fear returning that would cause people to flood into the US dollar. And more recently, people have been looking a little bit more closely at the US's economic problems. But I wouldn't be surprised to see the dollar steady up a bit in here right now. And the currency that it could see a decent move against is the Japanese yen, because the yen is the only currency with a weak economy behind it that has not seen a devaluation, either due to fear or an engineered devaluation overall. And we get almost daily warnings from the Japanese Finance Ministry and the Bank of Japan that they're watching the situation very closely. That's usually central bank speak for or meaning that they will intervene. They will intervene in the market if pushed any further. So I wouldn't be at all surprised to see the greenback rebound against the US dollar. It's up 39 ticks here today at 85.90. That's not far off the 15-year lows. And on that note, I think that's covered the main points. My message, though, don't be too bearish of stock markets. All the best.